Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful this morning that you're redeemed? Amen. Hallelujah. You're redeemed and you're on your way to heaven. Amen. But in the meantime, you've got something to do. And that's to live an abundant lifestyle in the name of the Lord, shining light to a lost and dying world, bringing hope to the hopeless, bringing comfort to those who are in a place where they feel like an orphan. You and I, we have the Holy Spirit that will drive away that orphan spirit. Amen. The sons and daughters of adoption. The Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit that we're children of the Most High God. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And while you're turning there, and in my prayer time and devotion time, but in the time of seeking the Lord for you and I, this part of the body that the Lord has made us a part of, there's just a deep urgency for me to just emphasize how important it is for you and I to get into this Word. Yes. Amen. We need the Word of God. And so, as I meditate on the Lord and try to get his face and his mind for each service, he just wants to emphasize that so much in our life. You and I, we're not going to make it without the Word. Now, thank God that we can get born again and we can start on our way to heaven, but that doesn't mean we've made it yet. The devil said to Jesus, over and over, he took scripture in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, and he twisted it just a little bit. But Jesus knew the twist of the word. You and I, we got to know the twist of the word so we will not fall away, where we will not be deceived. Amen. And so this morning, we'll start in the New Testament. We're going to go to the Old Testament. We're going to look at just a little bit at the tabernacle of Moses, and we're going to talk about what Brother Corey and Brother Justin were leading us in worship about being redeemed. But see, everybody wants to be glorified. Everybody wants to be saved. But you get redeemed, you get born again, and then before you get glorified, you got to get sanctified. We can't skip these steps. See, the Bible says that you and I are to imitate God, Ephesians 5:1. We're to follow Him. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. We've got to do things in order. Amen. And so if I'm looking for a glorified body someday, and I am and you are, then we first make sure that we're redeemed, that we're saved, but then we make sure that every day that we're sanctified. And the sanctification only comes by the Word. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is the truth. You've got to have the word. You realize that there's some people that call themselves Christians that say they love Jesus and they don't open their Bible from Sunday to Sunday. See, if I tell Donna I love her, I'm going to spend time with her. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm telling you, we're coming down to the last days, and we got to be cautious. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, let's read verse 1 and then verse 8 for a text, and you'll see where we're going. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. Now, I want you to think about this mountain and think about Moses going to the mountain, and then think about how the scribes and the Pharisees tried to take the seat of Moses to remove the word of God. But Jesus has come back and says, I am the one that is the true giver of life. Amen. I'm the one that sits down in the mountain and gives the word. But another sermon for another time. Drop down to verse 8. Blessed are the pure, the clean, katharos, the sanctified. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure, the clean, the sanctified in heart, for they shall see God. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. 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 Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for your presence this morning. So the encouragement that I want you to have this morning, if there's some area in your life that you're having trouble seeing the Lord, seeing His work, seeing His love, seeing His provision, just having that closeness with Him, then you and I, we need to come back and we need to say, I need to sit down with Jesus. Because the Bible is very clear here. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. And the only way that your heart, that my heart can be purified is by the truth, by the word. And he said, if I'm hearing the word of God, then I'm going to see God work in every area of my life. I want to see God work in my life, don't you? In other words, I don't want the devil who is darkness. I don't want him to try to cover over what God's wanting to do, what God is doing, what God might be directing me into. So I want to come to that place. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Make this decree with me. I will take heed of what I hear. Amen. This morning, yes, in the name of Jesus, if you take heed to what the Spirit of God causes your spirit to hear, it's going to make you free. It's going to do some work in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So let's get excited about some things. Before we go to the Old Testament, go with me to Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at the realization of the type and the shadow that we'll learn more about in the Old Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, let's start reading in verse 25, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Now, the Word of God is here to cleanse us. The Word of God is here to just to be a truth in our life that will make us completely free. Notice what the Word says. Husbands, love your wives. Is that a suggestion? We better do it, guys. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We had to read that to get to verse 26, talking to us so we know who the he is in verse 26. It's Jesus Christ. That he, Jesus Christ, might what? Might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So now he's talking to the church. And he's talking to those who have been redeemed. That's why the Holy Ghost moved on them to lead us in that part of worship. Redemption means that Jesus come and he paid the price for my sins. He paid the price for your sins. And so just like in the Old Testament type and a shadow, when the sin offering was gave and that blood was took up and that brazen altar, that sacrifice was put on that brazen altar, the sins were rolled back. But with Jesus, your sins, they're gone forever. They're covered. But that doesn't mean that you are in the place of perfection. We're striving to be ye perfect as God in heaven is perfect, but that perfection is real in my spirit, but it's not in my soul. Because my soul doesn't understand all those things until I renew it. Amen? And so here Jesus is inspiring Paul by the Holy Spirit to make us understand that he wants us to see that even after we get born again, we've got to be sanctified. We've got to be set aside. We've got to become saints. And we do that by being cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Now, see, so many times if we're not careful, the Holy Spirit will knock on our heart's door. Jesus Christ will be revealed to us and we'll see the love of the Father drawing us and we'll accept Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And how wonderful and miraculous that is. We have this new creation in our life. We're become a new creature. But we've got to see that this soul, our mind, will, and emotions has to be sanctified, has to be cleansed by the Word, or we can be on our way to heaven, but we'll still do the things we used to do before salvation. I don't know about you, but I would go to church. I would crawl into church. I'm just being honest with you. After we first got saved and a few years after that, I'd crawl into church and I'd just be defeated. I love Jesus. But I was defeated because why? Because I didn't let the word come into my soul. I didn't let the word come in and show me the victory. I didn't let the word tell me who I was. I let the sins of my past, I let the domination of the evil spirits that were in my bloodline try to hold me back and limit me. I let them convince me that God's grace would look over my sin. No, God's grace delivers me from the sin that the devil wants to make mine. But it's not mine. Jesus is mine. Amen. The sinless Christ is mine. And so he gives me victory over all of those things. And I've got to hear that word to be able to come into this truth. Look what he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself. Jesus wants to present you and I, the church, to himself. Isn't that amazing? Now think about that. Let's put it in a little way that we might understand it better. Jesus said that you're his very own present. When you present something to someone, you're giving them a... You see why the devil hates you so much? Why he wants to keep you bent over and bowed down and confused and hurt and limited and all of those things? Because he doesn't want you to see yourself as a gift. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now, as you look through the Old Testament and you come into the New Testament, what is the glory of God? I mean, what would be a simple way if you were trying to explain it to a young Christian, a new convert? What's the glory of the Lord? The presence of the Holy Spirit is the glory of the Lord. He shines forth the glory of the Lord. So notice what he's saying, that he might present himself a glorious church. See, you and I, we've got to know that we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. He brings the word alive to us. He shines the light in us, and then he shines the light out of us, and it brings the glory of the Lord into all the earth. Amen? And Christ is wanting to get us in that frame of mind that's who we are. That's what we can do. And it comes by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, a sacrifice had to be perfect. And see, Romans 12 tells you and I that our lives are the sacrifice that God wants now. We present our lives a holy sacrifice unto God, a living sacrifice. And so that means, now this is not to get us on a guilt trip, but this is to show you and I that every day we're being changed. Right. You're better today than you were yesterday. And you're going to, if the Lord tarries and your heart keeps beating, you're going to be better tomorrow than you are today. Isn't that exciting? Because why? Because you're willing to receive the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. It's going to wash over you, and it's going to show you lies of the devil. It's going to show you the open door to the flesh and to the soul, the mind, will, and the emotions. And you're going to close those things off by the Spirit of God revealing the Word of God, Jesus, to you, and only be open to the Lord. Now, the title of this message is, you and I, we've got to see that we go to the altar, we go to the laver, and then we come into his presence. And this is not a one-time thing. This is how you live every day of your life. Every day of your life, you see that you're coming to God the Father through the altar, the cross of Jesus. And you come to the laver, the washing of the water of the word, and then you go into the presence. Now, the Bible says if you and I don't do it that way, that we will die. Why do so many people die at a young age? Why do so many people not fulfill what God's called them to do? See, the Bible says out of the mouth of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, what is it, down about verse 6 or something? But also out of the mouth of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, that you are the priests of God. And the Bible says, and we'll go there in a moment, you have to go by the laver. coming and going in everything that you do. And if that's the washing of the water of the word, and if you and I do not do that, the out of the mouth of God, he said we would die. I didn't say you'd go to hell, but you will not be able to live in this abundant lifestyle. You will not be able to fulfill what God's called you and I to do. Amen? All right. Let's go to the book of Exodus, and let's see some things. Go with me, and let's look at the type and the shadow. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 30, Exodus chapter 30, let's start in verse 17. You hear so many times people say, I just want to see Jesus. How many times have you heard somebody say that? I've said that. You know, if I want to see Jesus, I need to open the Bible. Otherwise, I'm deceiving myself and I'm lying because it's not the truth. The tabernacle of Moses, okay? This here is the Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that that's the perfect picture of Jesus. So if I really want to see Jesus, then I got to take where Jesus teaches from the natural to show me the things from the spiritual. I've got to receive it in the natural to cause my spirit is things of the spirit. But my soul and my flesh is the things of the natural. And so I need to see it in the natural, and it helps paint the picture of the spiritual. Amen? So let's look. Verse number 17. Exodus 30 and 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, who's talking? The Lord. Verse 18. Thou shalt also make a laver. This is a basin of brass, a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. Why? For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet forever. How long? Aaron and his sons were the priests of God. You are the, come, we just said, out of the mouth of Jesus, Revelation chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, down about verse 9, Revelation 1 says, you're the priest of God. You're the priesthood. You're the royal priesthood, a chosen generation. The washing of the water of the word. So you've got to be washed. I've got to be washed. And he said for us to do that forever. So here's, Brother Ryan, can you put that picture up there for me? I got three pictures in there. It doesn't, well, start with the one that says the brazen laver. I think it's number one. All right. You come through the gate, and we'll look at it in a moment. Come through the gate, which is Jesus, and the first thing you come to is the altar. Here's the altar, and here's the laver. Hit that number two. I see it a little bit better. All right. So you come through the gate. Here's the altar. That's the cross. And then you come to this bronze laver. You come to the washing of the water of the word. So you get saved. You get born again. Hit number three and we can see it even better. So you come through Jesus. Here's your altar. Here's your laver. So Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. You come through Jesus. He's the door. He's the sheepfold. So you go through Jesus. You accept his sacrifice on the cross. And that means you're redeemed. But see, now you and I have got to start the process of sanctification. And sanctification means that every time we go into the presence of God, we've got to what? Got to come to the laver. We got the washing of the water of the word. Well, you and I are to carry the presence of God. So that means we've got to continually be washed. Amen? Okay. Back to our scripture. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. That's the word of God. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. And when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. And when they come near to the altar to minister to burn offering made before unto the Lord, so shall they wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seeds throughout their generations. Now, Jesus, we're not talking about a law. We're living not in the dispensation of law, but the dispensation of grace. But faith in the Word of God, faith in truth, produces works. And you and I are to work the Word of God. What did Jesus do in what is it? John 13:10, he washed the disciples. That's what he's talking about. Because Peter was all confused. He didn't want Jesus to do it. And he said, Peter, you have no part with me if I don't do it. And he said, no, wash my head, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, you don't understand. You're saved. You're born again. But as you walk through this world, you're going to get your feet dirty. I don't know about you, but there's sin all around me. I need the Word of God to keep me from being swallowed up in sin. Amen? So he said it would be an ordinance forever and ever and ever. And so even living in grace, I need the washing of the water of the Word. I need that. Now, let's talk about this brass labor just a little bit. Turn over, you're in Exodus 30. Turn over to Exodus 38. And let's understand this just a little bit more. Now, this gets so exciting because the Word of God is so powerful how it ties together. Look at starting in verse number 8. Exodus 38, verse number 8. And Moses, he heard the Word of God, and he, Bezalel made this, he had an anointing to make the things of the Lord, the utensils of the Lord. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it brass. What did he make it out of? Of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of congregation. Now, this is amazing to me. God usually, as you read this this tale, he doesn't tell us who gave water, where it come from, but he wants us to understand this laver is made out of mirrors. They didn't have a mirror as you and I know it today. They had a highly polished piece of brass, and they would look in that, and that's how they would be able to have a reflection of what they look like. So God is saying, you and I, we need to lose what we look like in the natural. Amen. We need to give an offering unto the Lord, come to the laver, look into the Word of God to see who we really are. It's not about what you and I look like in the natural to the world. It's what we look like with the blood of Jesus on us to the Holy Ghost, to God the Father, because Jesus is making us brand new. Come on, that's a place to shout. Come on, you and I have been around real good-looking people. Come on, real good-looking people in the world, they get what they want when they want it. They get favor from man. Just because of the way they look. Not, they may be the worst person ever, but because they look a certain way, they get attention, and that attention gets them opportunity. But your God's not like that. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And he looks at our heart, and then he shows us the truth. See, when I look in a mirror, I see all these things that I hate about myself. And I see everything that the devil magnifies and manipulates in my life to try to keep me from being able to be free and to be able to enjoy myself. But you and I, we've got to look into the Word, into this brass laver, and we've got to let the Word show us who we are. See, the devil tries to tell me, I can't do what God's called me to do. The devil shows me my fears. He shows me my inferiority complex. He shows me the lack. And he wants me to adhere to that and bow down to that and let that be my God. Come on, am I talking to anybody besides myself this morning? You are a mighty creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you can do whatever God calls you to do because you have the anointing of the Word of God by the Spirit of God in your life that says you can. Amen? But the only way you'll ever see it is you've got to daily, and it's not just daily, it's moment by moment. You've got to look into this brass laver. You've got to look and see. Remember what James 1 says? Hold your place right there. Go with me to James chapter 1. We talk about this verse all the time, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Look at in verse 23, and we won't read the first 21 and 22, but you notice verse 21 gives us that we're talking about the word of God. But look what it says in verse 23, James 1, 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man, mankind, man, woman, boy, or girl, beholding his natural face in a glass. This is that that brass laver. That's this brass basin. Beholding his natural face in a glass, for verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, the word is the mirror. The washing of the water of the word. The word, you look into this brass laver, you look into the word that's in there, and it shows you who you are. But the moment the Holy Ghost shows you who you are, you got to do it. See, there's a lot of things in my life that God had called me to do, and the moment that I put it off, then the devil amplified from hell all fear, all anxiety, all inability, all lack, all of those things. But the moment that I said yes to the Lord, then all of a sudden the word started regenerating my mind, will, and emotions, my soul, renewing it to the truth. And so just do what the Spirit of God is asking you to do, whatever it is. If it's simply, maybe he just says, I want you for 5 minutes to turn off your cell phone. Just 5 minutes. Not throw it away, but give me 5 minutes, just undivided attention. I don't know. That's up to you. That's whatever the Spirit of God's talking to you. He may want you to do something, and you just say, Lord, I'm going to do that. And when you do that, you're looking in the mirror, and you're not walking away being a forgetful here, but you do what the Spirit of God tells you to do, and all of a sudden, you see yourself like you never saw yourself before. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Your worth is in not what you look like. Your worth is not in what you possess in the natural. Your worth is the precious blood of the Lamb. Isn't that something? All right. Let's go back to the New Testament, and let's see some things here. Go with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter 15. Let's look at out of the mouth of Jesus, starting in verse number 1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he cleanses it, he sanctifies it, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. All right, so what we've got to see is that Jesus said the very first works that you could do that would produce fruit is simply believe on the name of the Lord. So the moment that you believe on the name of the Lord, then you become a branch in the vine, and you're productive. And so then you got to claim this first. You got to say, Lord, because I've accepted you as my Lord and my Savior, I've come to that brazen altar, and now I'm coming to this brass laver. I'm looking into the Word of God so you can show me the truth that you said that you would purge me. You would prune me. You would sanctify. You would clean me that I could bear more and more fruit. You and I, we're not going down. The church is not going down. We're going to be a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. We're going to do the work of the Lord to the coming of the Lord. Amen? Now notice what he says, verse number 3. Now. When's now? Uh-oh. Now that's gone. Now here's now. Uh-oh, now's gone. Here's now. Now is moment by moment. Now is a continual action, is it not? What did he say? He said, now ye are clean, you're pruned, you're purged, you're sanctified, you're washed. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So to live a victorious life, you and I, we're walking along. We're praising the Lord. We've got a song in our heart. We've got our mind on Jesus. All of a sudden, here the devil presents something contrary to that truth. So Jesus has the words that cause me to be clean, to be pruned, to be sanctified. The devil has words that will do the opposite. So I've got to cast down the words of the devil. And I go, Lord, give me a word right now that will change what I'm seeing, change what I'm feeling. See, I don't know how the devil works in your life, but in my life, the weak areas that I'm trying to make strong in Jesus, the devil hits them continually, trying to wear me out. And as he keeps hitting and hitting me, if I don't come back to Jesus and get the truth, come back to that labor, be washed in the water of the word, before long, I'll bow over to what the devil's saying. I will yield to that. I will succumb to that temptation. But if I'm doing like Jesus, remember he was tempted, he was tempted, he was tempted. And he kept saying, it is written. That's your victory. Oh, glory. Okay, in closing, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, let's start in verse number 5. Now we need to read a few verses here to get the full context. I'm not going to hold you long, but I want you to get this in your heart. Look what it says. Who is he or she, no gender intended, who are he or she that overcomes the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? How many believers we got? Then you are an overcomer. You say, well, you don't know what happened last week. No, and I don't need to know unless you want to talk about it, pray about it together. But see, there's a difference between something being true and something being the truth. It's true that I've got pain in my body. I've got some problems. That's true. The truth is that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So am I going to settle for the truth in my body? Am I going to settle for the truth in myself? Or am I going to let the Word of God bring me to the truth that never changes? Does Jesus change? He's the same. So I don't want to stay in my truth, which is seemingly true, but it's not the full truth. I want to come into His, don't you? So I'm an overcomer. You're an overcomer because the Word says I am, not because of anything I can do or not do. I just believe the Word. Now stay with me. Verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood. Talking about Jesus. He came by water and blood. So he was born out of Mary supernaturally. He came by water, but he was also baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. But he is the washing of the water of the Word. He is the Word that was spoke forth. So the Rhema word that Gabriel spoke out, and Mary said, be it as you have said, that he come by the water, but he come by the blood. See, the blood of the Holy Ghost, the blood of the Father, the plan of God. And so he shed that for you and I. So what happens? That's why we looked at that picture. You come to the altar. That's how the blood is applied to your life. That's how your sins are forgiven. Rolled away? No. Gone. As far as the east is from the west. Amen? But then you've got to stay in the place where the water is washing over you. This is he, Jesus, that came by the water and blood. Notice this. Even Jesus Christ. Not by water only. Come on, we got to do things in order. We got to do it step by step. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. So everything in your life, in my life, that doesn't bear witness with the Holy Spirit, it may be true. It may be true that I've my bank account's in the red. But the truth is, God said that those who walk uprightly shall lack no. That the Lord, He would bless you and I because we're givers. Come, so we got to let the Word bear witness with us. And we bear witness with it, so it takes us from where we're at to where God would have us to be. Now, stay with me. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Now, you study this out. If you've got a modern translation, nothing wrong with that. But some of these modern translations, they take the in heaven part out. But that's a... You need to pray about it. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're bearing this testimony. Look what it says, verse 8. And these are three that bear witness in earth. So, God wants to bring heaven and earth together, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. They agree in Jesus, but Jesus is in you. So, they agree in you and through you. So, when you come to receive this witness, of the Spirit, the water, and the blood in your own life. What am I talking about? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness, Romans 8, that you are the sons and daughters. So when you come in that agreement and you see that, then it makes the blood of Jesus real in your life. And all of a sudden, see, I used to think that I couldn't stop certain sins. I just depended upon the altar on grace. I kept coming back to God. God, I'm sorry. I meant it. Come on, I had a sorrowful heart. I meant it with everything in me, and I repented, but I was in bondage to that. It controlled the way I thought. It controlled my destiny was caught up in those sins. But until I come to the place where the water, the Word, started washing over me, and I seen that the blood, yes, it takes care of the sin, but the Word is what makes me victorious. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. That's what you and I have got to teach. We've got to minister to people who are bound up all around us that don't know this. Now, notice what he says, and these are the three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. Say, I'm the one. Come on, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. What did he testify? Verse 10. He or she, the person that believes on the Son of God, hath the witness in himself. Come on, you've got the witness of the Spirit of God inside of you. You got to see that, though. You got to renew your mind to that and let that witness be the directing factor in your life. He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. I don't want to make him a liar to you. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So we've got to tell the devil, when the devil comes and he tries to get us to settle for this life, say, I've got eternal life. I've got a life from heaven that is going to be living and supplied from heaven in this earth until the sounding of the trumpet or me putting off this flesh. And then I've got a life that's not limited by anything. It has to do with eons of time with my Father. Amen. Verse 12. He that hath a Son hath life. You've got life. So every place death's trying to work, well, it's true. I've got some death that's trying to work in my life. But the truth is that Jesus sets me free from that. By his stripes I am healed. By his word I'm made free. Come on, by all of these things. But I've got to keep coming by the washing of the water of the word to receive it. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I've got the Son. You've got the Son. I was going to close, but go Romans chapter 8. And we'll close with one verse if I can find it. The Spirit of God just brought this to my heart. Look at verse 32. Say, I've got the Son. Now look what that means. John 8:32. He that spared not his own Son, talking about God, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, or through Jesus, that's your channel, that's your open door, how shall he not with him also freely give us some things? Why don't let the devil put a limitation on the Word of God? Why don't want the devil to tell me that I'm not qualified? I'm not meet. No, the Bible says I'm meet to be a partaker of the promises of God. You're meet, amen? That, in other words, that you God qualifies you through Jesus. So it's time to receive some free things, amen? It's time to be in that place, in that position, that we've got some things in our account that we've never tapped into, and it's time to do it, amen? Make a note, middle note, write it down in your notes, and you can study it at home. Be sure and look at Titus 3 and 5. Titus 3 and 5 and 2 Corinthians 2:13. 2 Corinthians 2:13. And you can see how the Godhead is at work in you. You got God the Father working by the Spirit to bring salvation. Salvation is the Savior, and it happens by your faith. So you have to feed your faith for God to be able to do what he's promised to do. But if you do those things, regeneration is going to take place. Deliverance is going to take place. Victory is going to take place. I'll close with this thought. There was a man who was going through all sorts of struggle. His marriage was in a mess. Him and his wife were fussing. Him and his children were fussing. He was having trouble on the job. He wasn't satisfied with his work. He wasn't satisfied with anything about his life. And it seemed like any time anybody come around him, it just brought more and more turmoil into his life. And so He just couldn't stand it anymore, so he just got in his car, and he lived out west, and he just drove and drove and drove until he got in the middle of the desert. And when he got to the middle of this desert, he got out of his car, and he just started walking around and asking God for help. And all of a sudden, as he walked over this little sand dune and come down on the other side, he saw this little hut that had been built into the wall of this sand dune, and there was a small spring there. It looked like a little oasis in the middle of the desert. And so he walked over, and he was just looking at that, amazed that there could be something this alive in such a dead-looking area. Think about it. And so all of a sudden, the man who the locals called a hermit, he lived there, and he lived there by himself. And so he come out, and he asked the man, he said, "What are you doing here?" And the man shared with him what was happening in his life. And so the hermit walked back in his little home there, and he walked out with this little brazen pot, and he reached down into that little spring, and he picked up some water. And as he picked up the water, he stuck his hand in it, and he just gave it a whirl like that. And he said, "Look into that pot." And as that man looked into that pot, all he could see was the swirl of the water. And the man said, "That's what's happening in your life. The pain that is in your heart, the pain that is in your body, the dissatisfaction that you're having all around you, it's causing you to see a wave of trouble, a wave that has no answer in it." He said, "But if you'll sit down and wait just a moment, everything will become clear, and you'll see who you really are. It's not about the problem. It's not about the struggle. It's not about all of those things. It's about seeing who you really are." He just sat down there, and all of a sudden, the water started slowing down, and it just stilled. And when it stopped, he could look in there, and he could really see himself. What was this hermit doing? He was giving him the word. That's what the Bible is. When you and I, the Bible says when we be still and know that God's God, when we commune on our bed with the Lord, when we get along with Him and stop and let everything settle, we see who we are. Come on, your blood bought, your blood washed. You have your name written down in heaven in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You've got a destiny. Don't miss it. Don't let the world keep everything so struggled and so troubled that you can't look into the Word of God and see the truth. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for the anointing that we feel in our hearts right now. It is the anointing that makes us free. It's the anointing that frees us because it brings the truth. It brings the word into our heart. It gives us an opportunity to see what has been there all along, what was promised and provided for us, but it allows us to receive it. Father, right now, everything that is causing us just to see the struggle, to see the wave that wants to overcome, Lord, let us be like Peter was. Let us ask Jesus, can we come to you? And let us walk on top of the water, on top of the troubles, and let us hear Jesus say, peace be still, so we can truly see that we're not in the middle of the storm, but we're already on the other side, ready to step on the solid rock, the solid ground. Lord, let it be. Those here this morning who need just a touch from you, just a word of truth, by the Spirit of God, let them hear like they've never heard before, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus, and we all say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I haven't been able to see what you've called me to do. I haven't been able to see what your word has named me and made me this morning. I'm tired of living by the truth that is in and of the world and in and of the flesh. And I want to come into the way, the truth that brings life. Would you come this morning, help us to pray with you? I love you with all my heart. I see great potential in your life. I see a great destiny. But that potential and that destiny is only fulfilled when we submit to the Word of God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, kandala labahande. Mandala brieto doleandala kasande. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We worship you. Father, in Jesus' name, I anoint my sister right now. You lying spirit of pain. In the name of Jesus, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, let every yoke of pain come off my sister's life right now. Every bit of discouragement, every lie that would try to assimilate itself in our life that would be the truth, we bind it in Jesus' name.
Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more, and grace is found. Is where you are, Lord. I am free, holiness is Christ in me. Defense. my righteousness. Oh God, I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and save. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
See, Jesus said in John 10:10 that he come that we might not only have life, but we might have it more abundantly. We love that verse. We stand on it. We believe in it. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so every area in my life that I don't yield to the Lord, I don't come to the washing of the water of the Word, where I can have abundant lifestyle, the devil comes into my life and he perverts things and twists things. And instead of having abundance in the good things of God, I go in the abundance the other way, the negative way. The devil perverts everything, you know. And so, you know, in my life, you know, one donut is not enough. Give me a whole dozen. As beautiful as sex is, the devil wants to pervert it where it's not never enough. You always got to have more and more and more. One car is not enough. Come on. Our home is not good enough. Our job is not good enough. All of these things the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. There is an anointing this morning to break off all of those lies, where we can receive the truth. God wants you to see that you have abundance right now in Jesus. And it's not about what you do or don't do. It's about rejecting what still kills and destroys and receiving the abundance of life. Amen.